Welcome to Ask the Therapist, the podcast that invites you into the therapist room to explore the world of mental health with me, your host, Sarah Rees. Hello and welcome to this episode of Ask the Therapist. I'm your host, Sarah Rees, and today we are celebrating 5 years of Ask the Therapist. I cannot believe 5 years has passed. It's gone so quickly. I think when I started this podcast, I wasn't sure what to expect. I didn't really know how long I'd carry it on for. And I enjoy it more now than I ever have done. I think it's really given me the opportunity to reach out to some amazing people and to have some just fantastic conversations, which I really, really enjoy. And one of my motivations for doing this podcast was to open the door to the therapy room. I really believe that there's so much information and knowledge that therapists have, or people that have had therapy have, and the more we can share this information, the better. And I consume a lot of my information through podcasts, and I know many of you do too. So in this episode, it's a solo episode, you've just got me today, and I'm going to be reflecting on our shared journey and talking through some exciting changes that will be enriching the podcast even further. And I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on our journey together, some of the lessons we've learned, some of the most listened to episodes, and some of the episodes that have had the most impact. And I'll be updating you on what I'm doing at the moment. I had a really busy year in 2023. As many of you will know, I was writing a book, The Therapist's Guide to Private Practice, Building a Values-Based Business. That's currently with a production editor at Routledge. They are reading through it. They get it ready for production, which should be happening in about 3 to 4 months' time. We think it's going to be out in about June. I'm very nervous about it. I'm very, very excited. I just want it out there into the world now. But I think before that happens, I'll be getting some drafts. I'll be still grinding away, making sure that it all flows. And I'm sure I'll be correcting some grammar and some things that I might have tripped up on along the way. But we shall wait and see. But I'm going to be so excited to share that with you. And I might do a little special series, maybe a month, like I think I've done one before in the past, where I share some snippets and talk you through some of the chapters. I'm really looking forward to getting that out in the world. So last year was a really busy year. And now I've got a bit more free time. I'm thinking about where I go next. And I'm going to share a bit about that journey with you as well. So grab your favourite cup of tea, have a comfy seat, and let's embark on this episode together. The very first thing I want to share with you is how many listens and downloads this podcast has had, because it absolutely blows me away. In fact, one of the ways I manage to do a podcast, because I've always been a bit nervous around public speaking or putting myself out there, is that I thought nobody will listen to it, it'll be fine. So when I tell you how many downloads it has, obviously people are listening to it. We've had over 95,000 downloads. It's likely in this next year we're going to reach 100,000 downloads. That is incredible. Each download represents a moment of connection, of learning, sharing knowledge, and kind of mutual growth. I learn so much from the people that I get to interview. It's an incredible milestone. And really a testament to our curiosity, how interested we are in mental health and its treatments and the therapies that are out there and how effective that they are. It tells us that the stigma of mental health is reducing, that we're happier to listen to this kind of content, and we're going to be happier to share information and talk about it as well. So if you've ever talked about an episode, if you've ever talked about Ask the Therapist or shared an episode, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And hopefully it's been helpful for that person you've shared it with. But it creates a ripple when we start sharing information and we start talking about things that often we don't talk about. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I don't often look at my analytics, but I went in, looked at the downloads, and I had a look at what episodes have been the most listened to over the last 5 years. And the number one top episode, which is one that, you know, was one of my dream guests that I had the pleasure of talking with, Professor Paul Gilbert, who developed compassion-focused therapy. I was really, really nervous about interviewing Paul Gilbert. He's, somebody I hugely admire and respect. I did the training in compassion-focused therapy in around 2016, I'd like to say. And since then, it's been an integral part of the therapy I deliver. And it's been a real personal journey as well, especially because I've had some chronic health conditions and actually being kind to myself and reducing my self-criticism has been of huge personal benefit. So Paul said yes to coming on the podcast. I was so excited to interview him, yet so nervous. And he talked about the development of compassion-focused therapy, how it came about for him and his journey into this area, and some of the many, many books that he's writing. I've heard a rumour that he's writing a new book at the moment. He just literally can't stop. He talks about how we all have very tricky brains and complicated emotional systems that we all have to struggle with and that we all have to work with. So it really gives you a sense of having this shared humanity, that we're all in this together. Life is not easy. We don't have brains that work well for us. So we've got to kind of cultivate mindsets that put us in the best position we can be and help us be the best versions of ourselves that we can be. And it's something we are constantly cultivating. Paul also shared why he thinks compassion-focused therapy is becoming so popular, especially amongst CBT therapists who often find, like I have done, it's an amazing addition to their core skills. And Paul was a CBT therapist, he's a psychologist, he trained in CBT, and it was through this interest of thinking with his clients why some clients do very well with CBT and some clients really struggled. And what he found is that if people are struggling to integrate CBT into their lives, or they learn how to change their thinking, but they don't feel any different, he found that what was underneath that was self-criticism. So that's how he developed compassion-focused therapy. And that's one of the many stories that he talks about in that episode. So if you've not listened yet, do go back and have a listen, because it's had thousands of downloads. Episode number 2 in the charts of Ask a Therapist was the episode where I talked about what is cognitive behavioural therapy and how does it work. And I think this episode was one of the most listened to, because I tried to give a really comprehensive overview of what CBT is and how it works, so that if people are thinking about having CBT, they have a better understanding of what they're going into. And it can also help people make the decision of, is this the right therapy for them or not? Because it's not going to be right for everybody. We are so individual, we're so different, that different things work for everybody. And I think the fact that what is CBT is the second most listened to episode makes me think that actually, I need to be kind of doing more episodes around the different types of therapy. So I'm looking into that in terms of guests that I invite on the show, that hopefully will have overviews of different types of therapies, more specifically looking at what they are and how they work, because that's obviously of real interest to people. And I think could be very valuable as we take more control of the treatments that we have for ourselves. In third place is another very dear guest to me. I interviewed Dr. Mary Welford, where she talks about compassion-focused therapy. Again, it's an interesting theme here. I don't know if it's because it's so dear to my heart. But with Mary, who is my clinical supervisor, we've worked together now for many years. She's written a fantastic book around developing compassion for self-confidence, and also does a lot of work for young people, and has done a brilliant book called The Kindness Workbook, and that's for young people, because if we can help our young people understand some of this, they're going to have a really solid foundation of great mental health going forward. It's honestly a book that I wish I'd had when I was a young person, because it would have really helped me navigate my teenage years. So in this episode, we focus on self-confidence, and she talks about developing her work in this area and how she manages self-criticism, and shares some really useful practical advice around managing self-criticism. I think one of the reasons why this episode has resonated with so many people is because we all recognise having a self-critic. And we also have the wisdom that it's generally not serving us very well. I think it takes us so far, but I think, you know, we know that when we're self-critical, that it undermines our mental health. We're more prone to anxiety and depression, and it starts becoming a real barrier for us moving forward and for us feeling as well as we could do. So we need to start transforming that and softening how we talk to ourselves and talking to ourselves like we talk to everybody else around us. And that is probably one of the key things, if I could say, from the therapy work that I've done, that if we all were a bit kinder to ourselves, that life would be very different for us and everybody who loves us as well, for everybody around us. Number 4. Was the episode around managing uncertainty. All these episodes I will link to in the show notes so you can go back and have a listen. So managing uncertainty. I wasn't sure how this would be received really, but obviously it's been received very well and downloaded thousands and thousands of times. And it doesn't really surprise me, I suppose, because I think when I wrote it, it was just after around the pandemic, and we'd had collectively and globally a load of uncertainty for many years. And we all had struggled with it. We like, as human beings, we like certainty. We like to feel in control and we like to know what's coming ahead of us. The only problem is we also like surprises and birthday presents and Christmas presents. So having no uncertainty in our life would be very, very boring. But having too much uncertainty creates a lot of anxiety. I know that the intolerance of uncertainty sits underneath so many of the anxiety disorders, mainly generalized anxiety, which is excessive worry, and also OCD as well. So in this episode, I talk about what managing uncertainty looks like, why it causes us problems, and some strategies and techniques for helping people to tolerate uncertainty. It was one of the areas back in the day when I was in CBT school. I was like, why are we not taught this stuff in school? So it was a real pleasure to record this episode. And I just find it so interesting that actually so many of you can relate to it. And I hope in listening to this stuff, you know, these are the episodes that are downloaded the most. This is what everybody is struggling with. Sometimes we think it's just us, but actually we're all struggling with the same things. Other episodes that I thoroughly enjoyed recording last year is the episode I did with Sarah Tasker around creating a Substack. I was having some coaching sessions with Sarah at the time, and she encouraged me to start up my own Substack. And I was like, do any of us need another social media platform in our lives? Turns out we do. And it turns out that Substack is actually very different. There's no algorithm. I am absolutely loving being on Substack. I feel like I've met so many new people that are doing really interesting things. And it's nice to read long form content again, and people just sharing their thoughts and being really authentic in what they're sharing and what they're writing, rather than writing things for likes and follows. It's very, very refreshing. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about Substack later on. But first, let me share the top countries that listen to this podcast. In number 1, as you would expect, probably because I'm in the UK, it's the UK. So that's where it's listened to most. Number 2 is in the United States, then over in Australia, then Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, Germany, the Netherlands, and Sweden. That could be, I know in the Netherlands and Sweden, they really love the work of Paul Gilbert. And I do talk a lot about compassion focused therapy. So that could be one of the reasons for that. And Spain as well. So if any of you are in those sunnier climes, do reach out. I would love to do a little podcast tour in some of those areas. So can you believe the reach of the podcast? I think that's one of the amazing things about doing a podcast is the reach that you can get. One of my other favourite podcasts that I've recorded in the last year was with Amy Porterfield, who has been a real inspiration to me on my entrepreneurial journey. And I've listened to her so much around kind of how to do marketing, how to market online, how to set up an email list, how to create courses, which are coming soon in my world, I'm very excited about. So to have her on the podcast was really a dream come true. She'd just written a book called 2 Weeks Notice, and she was sharing how you can go from working in a secure paid job to being your own boss. It was very apt for therapists in private practice. So if you've not caught that episode yet, I shall link to it in the show notes and do have a listen to it, because it really gives a step-by-step practical guide of some of the mindset things to consider and some of the practical aspects around what to have in place and how to create the runway into becoming your own boss, whether that's in private practice or any other avenue as well. Because for many of us, it's a dream and it feels very out of reach. I know it did for me. I never thought I'd have my own business. But for many of us, we have that little spark in us that think, maybe I'd like to do that. And one way to reach your goals and dreams is to look at the people around you that are doing it and kind of follow in their step. And Amy is very generous with the information that she shares, and she was just lovely to have on, although I was very, very nervous as well, which you may hear in that episode. But gosh, I've had some real dream guests on. It's been so exciting. So this past year brought me to a real pivotal moment where I was kind of faced with a choice around the content that I shared on social media to carry on sharing more about mental health information. And I'd done lots about therapy and journaling, or move more towards supporting therapists in private practice. And while I love delivering my one-to-one therapy, and that is something I am definitely not stopping, it's been the main focus of what I've done for the last 20 years. And as many therapists will tell you, that over time, having a job that's diverse is just really rewarding. So I want to keep my therapy practice kind of to about 2 days a week. That's what I'm hoping for eventually. So I've been slowing down that side of things, because when I get into the therapy room, I want to be at my absolute best, feel really fresh and really engaged. And it can be hard to do at 5 days a week. So diversity has become really important to me. And I think that there's so much mental health information out there now, as the stigma reduces, more and more people are sharing stuff and opening up, and I think that's fantastic. So I thought I can make a bigger impact in the realm of supporting therapists in private practice. Because as therapists decide to go on their journey to become a therapist or psychotherapist, counsellor, psychologist, there's no business training whatsoever. And some therapists, it's just not their thing. They need to do it. Private practice is important to them, or they decide to have a bit of a hybrid career where they work part-time for an organisation or a charity and then part-time for private practice. And it's something they want to do, but they don't necessarily have clear steps in front of them of how to do it. So what I want to do is put in place the clear practical steps of what they need to do to build private practice with self-referring clients and get that information out to them in a streamlined way, which we do through the Substack Therapist Corner. And then therapists can focus on what they love doing, which is being in the therapy room, delivering amazing therapy. And hopefully I can take the stress off the business side of things. So last year, while I was writing the book, I also created the Community Therapist Corner on Substack, which was supported by Sarah Tasker, as I've mentioned, and you can hear that journey in the episode where I interview Sarah. And it's aiming to build a community of therapists where they can find support and all the resources they need. So it's full of really practical templates and blog posts and podcasts and videos and how-tos, and lots more coming this way as well. The aim of the Substack that we run is to provide a place almost like a staff room where people can come together and bounce ideas off each other, collaborate, and get answers to those business questions that pop up for us each and every day. And when we're in private practice, we can sometimes feel a bit, little bit isolated. So it's a place where you can privately ask in the chat some of the questions that pop up and get really quick answers to. We do weekly Q&As. We have expert guests coming in all the time to share their knowledge. We've had a PR expert, Sarah Tasker, has recently been in again to do a Q&A and share tips and advice on how we can use Instagram as a tool, not just for creating brand awareness, but for turning followers into clients. Ultimately, we want Therapist Corner to be to your business what supervision is to Therapist Clinical Worlds. In Substack, there is a couple of tiers. If you've not looked at Substack yet, I know I'm completely biased, but go over there. There's some incredible people. There's the writer Liz Gilbert, Stephen Fry's on there. Lots of journalists have come over there and have got some brilliant articles that they're sharing. It's growing every day. And there's three tiers to Substack. So you can join Therapist Corner as a free subscriber and get access to the blog posts as they come. We do normally do a blog post each week on some practical element of running a private practice. And then there's a paid tier where for £10 a month, you can attend some of the Q&As and the expert guest sessions. And you also have access to the back catalogue of resources and blog posts we've put out there, all of which are structured to help therapists who want to work with self-funding clients. And that comes from another area I'm very passionate about, because many therapists going to private practice find themselves kind of working for referral companies and agencies, which can provide a great way to get started up quickly in private practice. But over time, therapists find that they have none of the security of working in a paid position, but they have 10 bosses. And so it becomes a pivotal moment when they make the decision to actually focus on working with more self-referring clients. And I've been doing that for the last 10 years after initially working with some referral companies, and I didn't really feel aligned with that work. And I've mastered a very clear system of things you need to have in place in order to attract a regular stream of referrals. What's exciting is I'm going to be sharing that system with people who come into Substack as a founding member. And that course is going to be starting in April. So we have the free tier at Substack, then there's the £10 a month tier, and then you can join Therapist Corner as a founding member. And when you do that, you get just more access to me and Sophie, who runs Therapist Corner. I've done a podcast with her a few months ago, so you can hear about what she does. But she's a website designer, SEO expert, and she's a graphic designer as well. And she works in the corporate world. So we bring our knowledge together, and that gives us a really good holistic view of the support we can give to therapists. And as a founding member, you'll get access to the course that will support you in developing a practice that attracts a regular stream of referrals for self-funding clients, and also an hour with me and Sophie a month, so you get all your questions answered. So we're going to be very excited to run that in April. It's still at the moment being sculpted and shaped, but hopefully by the time this episode's out, it will be out in the world. So I'm looking forward to sharing that more with everybody. So what does all this mean for the podcast? Well, we have decided to pretty much keep it the same, with one key transition, which will be changing the name to Therapist Corner, because now it just makes sense that everything flows from the Substack to the podcast to the work I'm doing with therapists, and incorporating a more aligned mission, which will still be to open the door to the therapy room to have guests from a much broader spectrum of therapies and with more ideas, sharing more practicalities. Because when we've looked at who listens to this podcast, it's about 50% therapists and 50% people who are really interested in therapy and the different types of therapy out there. Maybe they're interested in possibly having therapists, or we are just getting more interested in our minds now. And I am as well. That I can't learn all the therapies, although I would absolutely love to. So my way in is to have guests on the podcast and share their insights and practical advice. There might just be more of an emphasis on supporting therapists as well in a more tangible, practical way. So some of the episodes might take more of a business focus. If you've been listening to this and listening to previous episodes and had a thought about, oh, I'd love to know a bit more about that therapy, or I'd love Sarah to interview that person, do drop me a line. You can send me an email to inquiries@sarahdreese.co.uk. And I'd love to hear any suggestions you have for this podcast. And I will be reaching out to lots of people and getting lots more episodes recorded over the next few months. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to a bit of behind the scenes of the podcast and found it interesting to listen to what's coming next and what's been happening over the last year. Your engagement, your listens, your follows, and all your support on social media really mean the world to me. And it's a real pleasure and privilege to present this podcast each month. So until next time, do take care of yourself. And let's keep sharing and learning and growing together. And here's to the next chapter in our journey. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Ask the Therapist. I'll be discussing all you've heard in this episode and more over in the Therapist Corner community on Substack. To join me there, just click on the link in the show notes. Until next time, take care of your mental well-being as you continue on the path to becoming the best version of yourself.